All right, next up, Jake. AIS update.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. Again, Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. I will be covering for Tanner Davis, our Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator. As we prepare for this open water season, Tanner is a very busy individual, and so he has prior commitments in the southeast. So I am more than happy to cover this for him. What I will be covering today is just a very brief overview of our Aquatic Invasive Species Program for 2022. This is a program that we've had for a number of years, but it has evolved as AIS has evolved within the state of South Dakota. So with that, I want to cover what we will be doing, because those efforts will start very shortly. They have been ongoing already, but a lot of our staff are starting to show up next week. And so with that, we're really going to start ramping up our efforts, and I want to make sure to cover that. So for our 2022 efforts, some of our primary ways to prevent or slow the spread of AIS in South Dakota is our outreach and education. And I want to take this opportunity to thank our communication staff. They've been very, very good to work with, very patient with us. We've had a lot of back and forth, and we could not do it without Nick Harrington and those other staff members. So just a big thank you to them. We do feel that outreach and education is our best tool to slow the spread of AIS in South Dakota. The primary reason is we cannot be everywhere all the time. So what we're trying to do is provide users with the tools that they can implement best management practices every time they use a water body in South Dakota. And so because of that, we're trying to reach as many people as we can with a consistent message, and again, provide them the opportunity to implement the actions on an individual basis to help us, because it really is going to take the actions of everyone to slow the spread. So with that, I'll share some of the highlights of our 2022 communications plan. A lot of this is building on what we did last year. We're able to utilize our excellent internal staff, but also utilize some external partners to help with that. Some of the new signage that we'll have out there. Additionally, I want to cover some of our staff in the field, what we would call access-based watercraft inspections. So this would be staff actually being at a boat ramp, doing entrance inspections, or in certain cases, exit inspections. It depends on if it's an infested water body. But again, interacting directly with a watercraft owner or operator at a boat launch location. Additionally, our roadside inspections, where they're used at in the state, and the reasons for that. And then also a big thing is our partnerships. We're always looking to help spread the word, and identifying partners is a great way to do it. Again, so we've got some new partnerships this year we're very excited about, and we're always looking for more. So to touch on our communications plan, just a few things that we're doing. We're partnering with Lawrence and Schiller, an advertising company out of Sioux Falls. We did this last year. Gas Station TV is one of our highlights. Chris Hull helps us always put together a fantastic video. I think we have the renowned Benny Spies lined up again this year. But basically what it is when you're filling up at a gas station, that screen pops on, and we're trying to engage you with very good content in a very quick manner. But the idea there is that we're reaching people at that location. Additionally, social media has been a fantastic way to get the word out. There's any number of ways that we do it. Instant experience, I have to admit, I don't do a lot in social media, but Nick Harrington tells me it's fantastic, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that it is. But we have any number of ways that we have internal posts we put on our website and our social media platforms. Additionally, we have what we call a Lake Association packet, where we provide lake associations with social media posts and form emails that they can send to their members as well throughout the year. I like to focus on busy times, of course, holidays, 4th of July, when we know that folks are going to be out. But that's always a great way to do things like that. Additionally, whenever we have, say, a positive water come back, trying to get the word out as soon as we can so that folks can change their behavior for that specific water body, for example, to know that maybe it has an AIS present. So that's a big part of it. We also produce a lot of different publications, one of which is what we call a rack card. It's a very slim, narrow form, essentially, that fits if you see the tourism racks for Wind Cave and Jewel Cave and things. We have that for AIS. We put those at a number of different locations. We partner with different tourism boards so that they can distribute them. Additionally, anytime we have an interaction at a watercraft inspection, that user is provided with those. And in all those cases, we're trying to provide information and also direct them to our SD Least Wanted website, which I guess we would consider to be our one-stop shop on AIS in South Dakota. What we provide there are distribution maps, also regulations, tips for how to practice clean, drain, dry, which are probably the three most important words in our AIS program and in our messaging to try and get out to folks. So all that is encompassed at SD Least Wanted. All of our publications are going to have that. We're utilizing QR codes so folks can scan with their phones and get directed to that. And again, we're just trying to do whatever we can to increase traffic to that website, whether that's, again, through signage, these rack cards, social media, whatever it might be. Then also our partnerships. We have great outdoor campuses on both sides of the state. We can utilize them to help spread the message. Additionally, just a lot of great organizations and associations, whether that's tourism, other state agencies, lake associations, again, any way that we can help reach those users. A lot of times we're really good at reaching our anglers, but some of the other user groups we don't have a great handle on. However, we can partner with groups that know how to reach those users, and so we're more than happy to do that. I do want to mention some of the new signs. They're currently in production right now, some of them, and some of them are actually out. The goal would be that we're always trying to find new ways to reach people at certain locations, and it's easy to get lost in all the signage at boat ramps. We're hoping these are grabbing attention. The one on the left, for example, they're in production right now. They're actually 4 feet by 8 feet, so they're quite large, and they will be at infested water bodies in eastern South Dakota to help spread the word so that folks know that they're leaving an infested water body and to make sure that they clean, drain, and dry. Additionally, the ones on the right, these pull-all plugs, helps remind people what the regulations are. And then the bottom one, if you notice, the bottom half of that sign is empty. And what we do there is we have actually stickers that we put on there to identify what aquatic invasive species are present, because some systems have bearings. Some might be plants, some might be mussels, some might be both. And so the idea is there we would tailor that sign specific to whatever water body that it's on. And additionally, if that water body or a water body came back with an additional, we could then update that sign so folks know what's there. So the ones on the right are out in most locations, and the ones on the left should be out shortly. Again, they're in production at the moment. Moving on to some of our access-based water inspections. So these would be at boat ramps. So this is where a lot of our staff comes into play. And I'm going to cover some of our partners, but I want to touch on what our staffing is going to look like this year. You can see all of the area offices are going to have staff that are dedicated for AIS work. It's going to be a mix of, in this case here, access-based versus roadside. And the primary reason is just the sheer number of waters. And for example, in northeastern South Dakota or even central South Dakota with the number of access points on the Missouri River, our thought is to maximize the number of contacts, which is our goal. We're going to set up in areas or thoroughfares where we're going to run into a majority of boaters versus, you know, essentially just one location. So, for example, Fort Pierre is going to set up on Owyhee Dam. The goal there, instead of just sitting at one boat ramp, if they sit up on a major roadway, they can cover any number of boat ramps or users going to multiple different lakes. The same goes in eastern South Dakota. We have stations set up on I-29. Again, it's going to be dependent on where those locations are, but we're going to set up using roadside to try and maximize our contacts versus sitting at, say, just one boat ramp. Because any number of waters, especially in northeastern South Dakota or Missouri River, they have multiple boat ramps on them. And so for us to try and cover it is really just not feasible. We even have our hatcheries pitching in. McNinney State Fish Hatchery does a great job. They usually cover Deerfield Reservoir for us. But again, we're trying to utilize our staff the best that we can. So just covering what GFP is going to have as far as seasonal and intern staff. And then, of course, with this doesn't involve law enforcement, but our law enforcement staff really helps out at roadside inspections, access-based, just to help with enforcement. So I didn't put their numbers on there, but I can tell you that they're there very frequently and provide an excellent level of support. So a big thank you to our law enforcement as well. Moving on to some of our big partnerships. So in western South Dakota, primarily, we received a grant 2 years ago from the Bureau of Reclamation to conduct watercraft inspections on Bureau of Reclamation reservoirs, which in western South Dakota includes Shade Hill, Belfouche, Angostura, Deerfield, and Pactola. That grant was $300,000. We have $111,000 left. One way to help hire the staff to cover all those water bodies was to partner with the local conservation districts. Last year was our first year. Really worked out well because they were able to hire staff that Game Fish and Parks likely couldn't, just with the constraints that we have for interns. And so with that partnership, it worked out well. That's why we had a record number of inspections last year in western South Dakota. Currently this year, they will be starting here very shortly. And as of right now, the numbers on the right are what's currently been hired, and they're still looking to hire more. But we have staff in place, training will occur, and again, we're going to partner with the county conservation districts to cover those waters as best we can. It's been a really good partnership, and again, looking forward to working with them again this year. And that they're still ongoing, as I'm sure everybody's seen in their local town. There's certainly a shortage of workers out there, and we're not immune to that. However, they have been able to get quite a few hired, and we're still hoping that we can get a few more on board before we really hit the boating season. I do just want to cover, so that's kind of our access base. So to do it real briefly, what we're doing is we're going to have crews at those western reservoirs, so those seven western reservoirs, so Shade Hill, Belfouche, Angostura, Deerfield, Pactola, and then I didn't mention Sheridan Reservoir, and the reason I didn't is that's not technically, it's not a Bureau of Reclamation reservoir. So in order to cover that, we use Game Fish and Park staff because we can't use the grant for that water body, but we will have staff on that one as well. And then for the access-based, we will, if we can get them hired, we have open positions, we will have a roving access-based crew in the northeast part of South Dakota, but currently those four positions are open with zero applicants at the moment. That being said, we will have roadside inspections that will occur in central and northeastern South Dakota and southeastern South Dakota coming out of those respective offices. So just to give you a general idea again, access based in western South Dakota and potentially in the northeast if we can get people hired. Otherwise, it's roadside inspections in central and eastern South Dakota. Do just want to cover some of our partnerships that we have. Again, a lot of this is helping us, to be honest, spread the word on AIS, but we're really hoping they can help us find staff right now, too. We've shared job announcements. Hopefully they can share with their members as well. We actually have opened them as seasonal positions versus interns because that allows us to cast a wider net for applicants. Essentially, they don't have to be college students, and they can be, as long as they're 18, it's anyone that can be hired. So with that, we're hoping they can spread the word. Additionally, we're providing them outreach and education, communication efforts, whether that's rack cards, emails, social media posts, whatever we can to help. So we've got any number of different associations up there, whether that's lake associations or tourism associations. We're also working with our neighboring states on shared water bodies, working with DOT, for example, to use the big flashing signs on the interstate at certain times to remind people to pull their plugs, certainly working with DOT to get the permits to do roadside inspections. U.S. Fish and Wildlife have been a partner. They provided funding this year. That's been another big grant that's allowed us to do what hopefully we're able to do this year based on that. Bureau of Reclamation, their grant that we've got $111,000, hoping to use that up this year shouldn't be a problem, but they've really allowed us to do a lot of things because of that funding mechanism. West Dakota Water Development District, I mentioned that Sheridan Reservoir, for example, wasn't included in that BOR grant because it's not a BOR reservoir. Western Dakota provided funds to basically cover inspections at that water body in Pennington County. So again, just a really good partnership there. And then Forest Service, certainly in western South Dakota, allowing us to run inspections and store equipment on U.S. Forest Service lands. So, again, we're always looking for partnerships, ways to spread the message, because it really does affect a lot more than just, say fisheries and recreation. It's any surface water user is essentially affected by AIS. So just to highlight again some of our increases, from 2021, apologize for that. We've got new signage that's out there or in the process of being put at infested water bodies once it's finished in production. We did increase our GFP staffing as far as seasonal positions to help oversee efforts in eastern and western South Dakota. I will admit, five of those seasonal positions are still currently open in eastern South Dakota. We're really hoping we can find some folks, but they've been open a couple weeks, and unfortunately, we've had zero applicants. But we're trying to spread the word on it, so we'll see what happens there. Communication efforts, again, we've really revamped our website, increased the number of posts and social media, ways that we can reach people. And then internally, we've probably been talking more than we have in the past just to bring in outdoor campus staff and just other staff within Game Fish and Parks to help us spread the word. And, you know, again, we're trying to find ways to provide every user with the tools that they can use and implement to help slow the spread of AIS. Additionally, we have some research partnerships that we have with South Dakota School of Mines, ways that, you know, working with the current AIS species we have in the state and ways to either mitigate it or find out ways to keep them from moving from where they are. So again, some big increases for 2022. Those efforts will start shortly. Training will begin here in the next week or two. Our AIS coordinator is going to make a big tour of the state. Tanner is going to see pretty much all of South Dakota as he travels around and trains Game Fish and Park staff as well as Conservation District staff, Lake Association volunteers, park staff. I mean, anybody that wants that training, we will provide it, and we've got those dates set. So with that, again, if there's one message I just want to share, it's clean, drain, dry, and that's the best we have for slowing the spread of AIS in South Dakota. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Risler.
So I look back, and GFMP has done a good job at educating, communicating this through the years. This is another robust plan. Is the public getting it? Are we still finding people that are not being compliant with this and they're struggling with being reached?
Through the chair. So, Commissioner Risler, one of our best metrics is probably looking at our plug compliance rate. So when we have a boat that comes through an inspection station, for example, and first things we're going to look at is the plug in or is it out, which is, there would be a fine associated if it's still in. But we're seeing plug compliance rates of over 90%, and in some cases it's over 95%. So we do know that that's increased over the years, and we think that's good. The question is, how much effort does it take to go another 2 or 3 percentage points? What you'll also find in certain regional areas, for example, in western South Dakota, where we have probably our most robust program with these stations being at just about most boat ramps at these limited waters, the repeat users, for example, are very educated on them. They've gone through those inspections a number of times. Additionally, a lot of our neighboring states have very robust programs, so a lot of the people coming into the state have an idea on AIS and the best practices to use. Is it 100%? No, unfortunately, it's not. But we do feel like we're reaching the public in the fact that, you know, we look at those compliance rates and they're over 90%. We've tried just about every social media, just about any way we can reach folks. I mean, radio ads, TV ads. And so, you know, we're always trying to do more. But in a lot of cases, I think the knowledge within the general public is getting better.
All right. Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Bartling. Really not so much a question, but maybe a suggestion. Every person that owns a boat has to license it. Have you talked to the county officials, to county treasurers, to perhaps hand something out the minute that person walks in and licenses that boat? Just a suggestion. So,
through Chair, Commissioner Bartling, you're absolutely right. And we have worked with Department of Revenue, I believe, and distributed RAC cards so that when a registration happens, they get a RAC card as well. I believe what I've heard, in some counties it's happening, but not so much in others. But we have worked to provide some piece of literature that goes along with every boat registration.
Thank you. I'll look in Gregory County just to see if it's there. I don't know if it is. Secondly, if I might, Mr. Chair, a question for the Secretary. Did legislation or anything happen this year that may have helped as far as funding for this project and ongoing funding especially? Thank you.
Yeah, through the chair, and great question, Commissioner. We actually seen a bill, Senate Bill 200. It was an appropriations bill for, I believe, about $70,000, $65,000. but it was really specific to decontamination units. And it was only earmarked towards that decontamination, the purchase of decontamination units. We have 18 decontamination units across the state. There wasn't a need from the department to acquire 5 more decontamination units. Our biggest, limited resource right now is people, personnel, staffing. And so for that purpose, then, the department did not support that bill through the legislative process, and that bill did not make it across the finish line. So, no, there was no general appropriations or general funds used to combat these efforts. But, yeah, it was definitely a conversation throughout the legislative process, and that is where it ended up.
All right, good questions. Any additional comments? All right, good presentation. Thank you for your efforts on that. I know that's a huge undertaking. That's more of a journey as opposed to a destination.
Thank you.
All right, with that, I think we'll wrap up for the day. We'll pick up tomorrow morning with a few more agenda items. And Mr. Secretary.
Just wanted to offer an invitation to all the commissioners. We'll be having a social gathering at the Game Lodge here at 6 o'clock, hosted by Regency. So they'll be hosting us here tonight at 6 o'clock in the Game Lodge. So we'll see you all over there in just a little bit.
Awesome. Sounds fun. All right. Thank you very much, and we'll be in the morning.